Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the iCouple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
You can call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS. To switch your insurance, and you could save a bundle. You could actually save an average of $470 on your car insurance. That's a whole lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? That's the average national annual savings, according to survey data from July to December of last year, 2020.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, we got another exciting, entertaining, informative, inspiring show for you tonight, but we are doing it under a little heavy heart. Let me welcome in my partner, Rob Parker. What's up, brother?
Man, Chris, we are doing it. We're going to do the show. We're going to have some fun today and get through it, but man, have we been put through the ringer, really.
Yeah, you want to make the announcement? I mean, some people may know, but you want to make the announcement?
Yeah. Sekou Smith, who Chris was on our show not that long ago, less than a month ago, I think was the last time he was on, has
passed. And people may remember him from NBA TV.
And NBA.com.
Last several years, he was on NBA TV, NBA.com. Yeah, he passed away today from COVID, right?
Yes, that's the word. I don't think he's 50 years old, Chris. I don't know the exact age. I didn't see it.
Well, he graduated college in 97.
Right. So
he's
that would
probably
be
around 45, 46.
Somewhere around there. And I go back. He's from Michigan, Grand Rapids,
yep.
Chris.
Yep.
So I know him from the beginning of his career, someone I helped early on in his career when he's getting started, advice, stuff like that, a talented guy. It's just, he leaves behind a wife and three kids. That was a shocker. We knew, Chris, that he was sick, you know, and he was in the hospital. But I was hoping he was going to pull through. I really was. Right. So, man, this is like, right, a year
it's
exactly
a gut punch
from
for
when
sure.
Kobe passed.
Well, that was the other
killed.
Thing. Yes, yeah, the year anniversary of Kobe's death. So that's what we mean by heavy hearts. But as Rob said, we're going to be professional and put on our game faces and have a great show. But we will remember our man, Sekou Smith. Great brother, Rob.
Oh.
And you remember when I first met him, I'm sure when you first met him, I imagine, he was very overweight.
Yes.
Covered the Pacers, Indiana Pacers.
And
when
he
I met
worked
him.
On it and slimmed
man,
down.
He really, yes. Yeah. And that takes a lot. He must have lost, 100 pounds or more.
Yep.
And he looked great, you know, for the last several years, but unfortunately.
And you got to understand, you know, it's a fraternity for us because we're
right.
Sports writers. There aren't that many. You know what I mean? There aren't that many of us. And Chris, you know, we have a close bond, even black sports writers, because it's just so few
right.
of us. So we
right.
know each other. We have interactions with each other. You go to city, it's not uncommon to go hang out or get yep. a meal with somebody yep. who's in that town you're covering a game. When we were at the NBA finals or in the good old days, the conference finals and all that, Chris, we'd all sit at the same press table and eat
Go
and
out
reminisce.
Usually during the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah, at least one night, yeah, yeah. So it's a sad day. It's a sad day, but we will press on. All right, we got a great show for you. So keep it locked right here on the iCouple for the next 3 hours, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM. Channel 83, however you may be listening. We got Byron Scott joining us at the bottom of the hour. Of course, former teammate of Kobe Bryant's and coach of Kobe Bryant's. So we will get to talk to him and reminisce about the great Kobe Bryant. All right, Rob, let's introduce the crew. We got DJ Alex Tyshirt on the ones and the twos, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan. We got super producer Rob G in the house. And on the updates is our man, Ralph Irvin. All right, Rob, let's start with it. News that just came out, about an hour ago. No one inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. You're a voter. You had, four or five guys?
I voted for four, absolutely.
Your feelings, your thoughts?
Not totally surprised because it was really a thin ballot, Chris. There was really nobody. It wasn't like Derek Jeter was on the ballot from a year ago, who's an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer, people like that. So, and then all the people who were on there who had the numbers, had the taint of the steroid era. And these are the people I voted for. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Gary Sheffield, and Sammy Sosa. Those are the four most deserving people on that ballot. And Bonds and Clemens got almost 62% of the vote. They got 1 year left, Chris, on the ballot. And then they can't get in by the writers. They'd have to get in through the Veterans Committee, which is made up of former ball players, GMs, managers, people like that.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
For the guys that, use PEDs.
Right. It will be. So they still have one more year. And the other guy who was on there was Curt Schilling. And Curt Schilling had 70% of the vote a year ago, Chris. Normally in the history of this vote, if you get 70%, the next year you're getting in. It's like,
well, he got 70% last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Year only jumped. Yeah, right. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
So
normally
you're saying right. Go ahead.
Because you only need 75%. So if you get 70, the next year you almost automatically get in. The for him not to get in means he's not going to get in. Do you know what I mean? That's why he came out with this statement, which I'm sure you just saw, Chris. Basically now saying that baseball writers, our evaluations don't mean anything to him, and he's going to wait for other players to vote him in because he knows he's not going to get in. That's why he's saying, take my name off. What'd you make of this?
I said last week when you revealed your ballot, I think Schilling should be in. And I know he doesn't have the 300 wins and all that, but that's a thing of the past. We know that. We're never going to see another 300 win pitcher. And I know some guys from his era still did win, close to 300, if not 300. But we're talking about one of the greatest postseason pitchers ever. First of all, he was darn good in the regular season. He wasn't, maybe all-time great in the regular season, but he was very good. What do you have, about a 3.5 ERA for his career? And then in the postseason, dude was nasty. 2.2, Rob, career ERA in the postseason. Led three teams to World Series. Helped break the curse in Boston. And what was he? I think 11-3 in the postseason. And I could almost equate him to an Eli Manning, whose regular season was good, but it wasn't that was going to get Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame. He's 11-2 in the postseason, Schilling. But he was so good in the postseason, Rob, an MVP of a World Series in Arizona. I think he deserves it. I think he deserves to be in the Hall.
You know what, Chris? I hear you, but he just falls short. He's very good. Here's the thing that hurts him the most. First of all, he never won a Cy Young, Chris, which in a 20-year career, not once were you ever considered the best pitcher in your league. Think about that.
No, okay.
Okay,
I'm sure there aren't a lot of guys in the – or at least a good number of guys in the Hall who never won a Cy Young?
No. I'm not saying that there are none, but that hurts him. Here's the other part. His ERA
– three times he was second.
Right. His ERA would be like 86th, his ERA. So he doesn't have like this – 86th all-time ERA is not that impressive for you to be amongst the elite, 86th. And when you talk about postseason stuff, the difference between him and David Wells, and you would never consider David Wells a Hall of Famer, David Wells in the postseason, Chris, and you talk about chilling and what he was able to do, did a lot of the same stuff postseason-wise. And the only difference is David Wells won 20 less games in the regular season, and he didn't get in. And from my standpoint, I didn't vote for Jack Morris from the Tigers. I didn't vote for Mike Mussina from the Yankees and Orioles because they're all like a Curt Schilling. Very good, but not Hall of Famers. And here's the other people who might think that Curt Schilling isn't getting in because the writers don't like him.
Right.
People need to get off of that.
Or some of the stuff with social media.
Right.
He's very conservative.
And he's a Trump guy, all that. That's just not true. First of all, Chris, you know this. Everybody in the press box are not Democrats. I don't know where people get that from, first of all. That's not true.
There's probably a good number of writers that agree with
exactly
politics.
No doubt about it. Number two, we've talked about it on this show before. Barry Bonds was a bad guy to the writers, Chris. He wasn't our friend.
Right.
He was a bad guy. The writers voted him 7 times the MVP. If they wanted to take it out on him, they could have. So I don't believe that.
Well, I'm with you, and we've talked about that before, how writers, if you really check the record, they've been very objective. Everybody's human. But for the most part, they've certainly been, and we've certainly been, the most objective of anybody, players,
even
coaches.
More so than players.
Right, no question.
We talked about it. The players didn't vote for LeBron James for the All-Star. 150 players.
That's ridiculous.
Think about that.
Here's the one thing I will throw back at you, though, Rob.
All right.
If indeed it doesn't matter, the politics don't matter to the writers, why do you think he didn't make the jump? Like you said, usually if you get 70% of the vote, you get in the next year. Or he didn't even get close. Like, he didn't get to 73, 74, you know what I mean? So do you think some of his politics, I don't doubt that maybe that had a factor.
Maybe with a few, Chris, but for the majority, I don't believe that. I think this organization, people have a vote. There's 330 million people in this country, and only 450 people vote. It's a small, select group of people. And most of them are like me, Chris. They take it very, very seriously. You know, I've told you that before. Since I don't have any kids, it's my most prized possession on this earth.
Right.
Other than having kids and if I was married. Seriously. It means that much to me. So I take it very seriously. I don't believe people have just flipped. They don't like him or he said something or he tweeted something. They're bad guys in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
right? Ty Cobb was a bad guy.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Because, Rob, and you know, obviously, character is important to me. I think character is highly important in a society. However, let's just face it. There are so many questionable characters.
Yes.
In all of the sports Hall of Fames. Football,
all
basketball, baseball, hockey.
Did some bad stuff.
Right. That I got to be honest, Rob. I've come to the conclusion, and obviously I don't want to belittle character in life or to young kids growing up playing sports or whatever, but when it comes to the Hall of Fame, Rob, I don't know that should be a factor. I really don't. And now I'm not talking about Pete Rose. I'm not talking about a Pete Rose who cheated the game. But like you said, there are guys who beat their wives in the Hall of Fame. There are guys who've, like you said, Ty Cobb was just an overt racist. There are other guys. I mean, there's all types of bad characters and bad apples in the various Hall of Fames. Lawrence Taylor, his transgressions are well documented.
They had to pull him out of crack houses in order to get him to play on Sunday. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Nobody even thought about it. Now, here's the other part. Rob G slipped me this note, and I almost forgot this. Mariano Rivera, who people love, is one of the biggest Trump supporters. Chris, he got in unanimously.
So
Curt Schilling can't tell you that it's because he's conservative or Republican that he didn't get votes. I'm not saying that there might not have been a couple people, but Mariano, of all people, Chris, got in unanimously, the first player ever. And if somebody wanted to hold the Trump stuff against him, they could have easily done it.
Right. No, that's true. So Where are you at on the character issue? I mean, do you agree with me, or what's your thoughts?
You'd have to be, to me, ruled ineligible by baseball for me not to vote. Yeah. Because the precedent's already been set.
Right.
You already got people in there. So I can't play judge and jury and say who's a good guy and who's not a good guy.
Agreed.
But this is interesting about Curt Schilling. And one last thing before we hear from our listeners, Chris. Hello, this is a message to Curt Schilling. The Baseball Hall of Fame, the awards, right? And the vote. Those are ours, Chris. The Baseball Writers of America, the Baseball Writers Association of America, we came up with it. Baseball adopted it from us.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's our awards. That's why we vote.
You think he'll get in on the Vets Committee?
Curt Schilling, maybe.
Yeah.
If he's got enough friends, he could. Because a lot of the questionable guys in the Hall of Fame, and I say this.
Yeah, they got in.
What I call the back door through Veterans Committee.
Right. All right. Well, let's go to the callers. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Two questions for you. One, do you think Curt Schilling or anybody else on this ballot should have been gotten into the Hall of Fame today? And two, should character matter when it comes to Hall of Fame votes? We're not saying character shouldn't matter, period. But we're just saying, look, and I've done this, Rob. I'm sure you have, too. With athletes in general, I don't put the character in. Because there's, you know, then it's a lot of dudes out there that we disagree with.
Right, that wouldn't get in.
Yeah, and even just in judging them in general, Rob. You know, like, if I'm trying to talk about a guy's game, period, I'm doing that, regardless of what his lifestyle is or, you know what I'm saying, character, whatever. So where are you at on that? 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369, Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call Farmers today for a quote. And Rob, what day is this?
It is a Trash Talking Tuesday.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo. Did you do a Trash Talking today on Deadspin?
I sure did. Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, for that call.
Wow. I was like, I know you didn't trash Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
That's all I
know. Tom Brady
could have. That would have been a good one, though, for the three interceptions.
I know you were going to try to find any way you could to trash him, but LaFleur is very worthy.
Yeah, so he's on it. Did you see the shirt that Curt Schilling was wearing with his on? Did you see that?
The post? No. No. What was it? Yeah. What was it, a Trump
shirt? He's wearing a Trump shirt that says, really? Better coverage than Verizon. So it's just pretty funny that. It's
okay.
Cool.
All right. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Is Curt Schilling a Hall of Famer? And should character matter when it comes to this vote?
All right. Let's kick it off with Paul in California. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Hey, great show. You guys are hilarious.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean it. Super important topic. So I'm sick, dad. My kids are in their 20s. I don't think that when we talk about that the character should matter, it doesn't mean we're looking for perfection. But when a man, if he seeks redemption and atonement, he's in. So it doesn't mean that they have to be infallible. That's not what character is.
No, I agree. Hey, Paul, that's a good point.
But there are that's very true. But there are also some guys who really haven't sought redemption, or even if they did say they're sorry, maybe it was a PR stunt. You know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt there are guys in there, and that's the thing. I mean, the precedent is set, Rob.
Right.
You know?
Right. You would be hard pressed in baseball. Ty Cobb is in the Hall of Fame, so you can't use that. Unless you're taking them out, Chris, and they're not taking them out.
Right.
So.
And there's a lot of other guys, you know, and guys we didn't know. We haven't heard about their stories. You know, it's just
–
not saying character doesn't matter at all, but it's just
– It's too hard of a task and for people to play judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable doing that. Patrick in California, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Patrick?
Man, you guys are an absolute treat to listen to, man. Just want you to know that.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it. Means
that.
A lot.
Rob, listen. I love listening to you. You're not going to like what I'm about to say, man. I think writers should be taken out of the loop on voting on Hall of Fame.
Oh, you
couldn't
let him explain it right. Right. Go ahead and explain. We got to hear this.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah, you're very wrong.
The problem is.
That's like saying Michael Jordan couldn't shoot the mid-range jumper.
Exactly.
Hold on.
We'll let you. Hold on.
Okay.
First of all, we're more objective. When people are dealing, we see it all the time. That's why all the NBA players got their panties in a bunch because of TNT, Chris. Ain't no writers on the set. Who they mad at? They're mad at Shaq.
You're right.
And they're mad at Charles Barkley. Those aren't writers. Those are ball players. And when they gave the vote in the NBA to the players and 150 players did not vote for LeBron James, don't tell me that there aren't to be an all-star, an exhibition game. It tells you that when you're involved and you're a part of it, there's going to be jealousies and there's going to be all kinds of stuff.
Friendships, here's the other thing, Patrick. Jackie Robinson was the rookie of the year.
Yes. Thank you,
now,
Chris. Tell them.
There's no doubt, Rob, that some of those writers, a lot of those writers at that time probably were racist.
This is 1947.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and yet they saw the excellence on the field and were objective enough to vote him into the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Now, they're human. Writers are human. They're going to make mistakes. But Patrick, you couldn't be more wrong.
That is Exhibit A. That's when you became Perry Mason right there. Dude, stop it with the writers that were not objective. It's not true.
We got our man Byron Scott coming up in a moment. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's a three-time NBA champion, critical member of one of the best teams of all time, former NBA coach of the year. He's done about all you could do at the NBA level. Byron Scott. Byron, welcome to the Odd Couple,
What's up, Byron?
Brother's doing?
We're doing good, man. Good. Good to have you on. And Happy New Year. Today is the one-year anniversary of Kobe's death. You hear a lot of people talking about where they were. You know, when it happened, it's one of those moments where you just remember where you were. What were you doing when you heard the news? And I mean, what thoughts were going through your mind, if you don't mind sharing?
No, I don't mind at all, man. Happy New Year's to you two brothers as well. You know, it was a Sunday morning. I was dressed, sitting in front of the TV, watching the PGA tournament. I can't remember which one it was, waiting on my wife to get dressed so we can go to church. And my wife, as she always does while she's getting dressed, she's always on her phone, you know. So, you know, if we got to be somewhere at 10, I always tell her 9:30 because I know we're going to be there.
You already know, right.
I already know. So, but church, you know, you know what time it's starting and everything. And I was like, baby, we got to go. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there, man, and she starts screaming. Mm. And she's just screaming and saying, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? She said, you know, Kobe just, you know, died. I said, get out of here. Yeah, nothing in me would make me or let me believe that. And then I started hearing all the stories that morning. I still was like, no, I don't believe it. You know, all my boys start calling me. My phone is going off the hook. And we got in the car to go to church. And then TMZ broke the news, and you know, at the beginning it was, you know, Rick Fox was in the helicopter with him, and you know, just so many different things, and I was just like, nah. So by the time we were about halfway to church, it was pretty. Then it was everywhere, you know, that it was true that Kobe and Gigi had passed away in a helicopter crash along with you know, the other passengers. And I turned around and went home. I can't go to church. I just need to go home. My phone was, I stopped answering my phone. It was just so surreal to me, you know, Chris, that, you know, this young man who I had talked to probably about 3 weeks prior to that, you know, just, you know, just chopping it up, you know, seeing how retirement was going, how life after retirement was going, and what else he was working on. And then to get that news, it was just devastating. And, you know, for the next 4 or 5 days, I basically just stayed home. I've never felt that bad. That was the worst feeling I've ever had. You know, our second worst, I should say, because the worst was when my mom passed. That was, you know, it's on that level. You know, there's somebody who I've known, you know, since he was 17 years old. You know, when he came into this league, got to know him, you know, on a deeper level than most people would have ever gotten a chance to know him. And he was just a true friend. And that was something that I truly just, I don't, even to this day, my friendships with my closest friends that I grew up with, and I got 4 or 5 from high school, from elementary school, I don't take that for granted. I take it very serious, you know, because you don't get friends like that. I can still picture myself, to be honest with you, sitting on the foot of the bed, looking at the tour, and my wife starts screaming. It was, you know, even though it's been a year, it seems, you know, still like yesterday.
Wow. And it doesn't matter. Like when you lose somebody, you know, it hurts. They could be 100 years old and it still would hurt. But when a guy, you know, Byron, you lose a guy that young with so much life left and so many things that he was going to do in his second career and his children and his wife, that makes it even harder, doesn't it, when a guy's that young?
Oh, absolutely. And you guys have seen, you know, seen Kobe with his daughters, and you've seen him with Gigi and his family. I mean, he would bring Gigi to practice. And, you know, after practice, she would go out and shoot, and he would be like, "Coach, man, she's got me all in her. She's going to be a beast." And I would just sit there and listen to him and watch. And he was so proud of his girls, you know, and he was so proud of Gigi because she had taken that basketball path like him, you know, so he was just enjoying every minute of it. And I was just sitting there in awe of just, you know, their relationship and how he just would go out on the court with her and just show her certain things. And then I'm looking at a video a month later and she's doing step backs and fallaways. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, and it was just amazing to watch him as a father. Cause again, you know, you guys got to remember, I saw him at 17 years old when he was calling me Mr. Scott in Orlando, Florida at the NBA rookie transitional program that I was involved with, and he was on my team. And now all of a sudden I'm watching him with his daughter and the pride that he had, you know, and the joy that he had with Gigi and just all his girls, just how he, just the family man that he was, how much he loved his girls. So it is so much harder when a guy has so much more life to live. And, you know, Kobe, you know, he was writing more things. I mean, he just won an Oscar. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, for you know, his basketball. I think I Love Basketball or something, a basketball diary.
Dear Basketball.
Like that. But,
Dear Basketball. Yep.
Yeah, Dear Basketball. So, I mean, he was talking about writing it, you know, writing more things. And the thing that used to kill me during our 2 years together, especially the last year, he would call me at 5 a.m. And I was like, "Man, I'm not up. I don't know why you even up."
Right.
You
know,
and
don't call my phone.
Doing?
Right.
Yeah. I'm like,
"Was he on his way to practice or something?"
No, he was calling to see about practice, you know, what we're doing today, coach. And I'm like, "Look, man, you know what? Today, I had already told you yesterday, don't even come today. I don't need you in practice today. I'll see you tomorrow at the game." Stuff like that. I said, "What are you doing up?" "I'm working." Yeah, I mean, he was always working, you know, just working on new things that he had in his mind. And I would just sit there and shake my head like, "This dude don't sleep." And then when he get to practice, we would talk about, you know, some of the things that he was working on or some of his ideas. And he was always about knowledge, you know, always about knowledge, man. So it's even more difficult, like you said, Rob, when you know somebody has so much more to give and so much more life to live.
Byron Scott, 3-time NBA champion, joining the iCouple. Now, you had such a unique situation with Kobe. You played with him his first year in the league as a rookie, and you coached him his last year in the league. That's great. And I've talked about how, just as a reporter, seeing the growth of Kobe from 17 to 38 or whatever he was when he retired, how did you see – like, I mean, you saw this guy grow up and become a man. So what was that like for you? Like, what was he like as a rookie, 17-year-old, to when you saw him his last year as a grown man?
As a rookie, Chris, the one thing I always told, you know, people that were very close to me when they asked about him, I said, man, at 17, 18 years old, he was the most mature 17, 18-year-old I've ever seen, because he had already in his mind what he wanted to accomplish. You know, he had already set that goal. He already got in his mind what he had to do to get it. So in his mind, he had to forget about a whole lot of stuff like 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds do, which is partying and having fun. He was like, I can't do that. You know, I mean, I never seen a 17, 18-year-old so mature and so driven. And sitting down and talking to him, during practice or after practice, you know, about the game and about, you know, what if a guy does this? What should I do? You know, I mean, he was just one of those guys that was never afraid to ask questions either. And to watch him at 37, you know, his last game when he would come in the locker room, and sometimes I would be in the back and he'd come behind me and just give me a big old bear hug and be like, how you doing, coach? Everything good? I said, yeah, I'm good. You all right? You know, you ready to go? He'd give me one of those. Am I ready to go? You know, I mean, you know, and I was like, yeah, well, I forgot who I'm asking. You know, I forgot who I'm asking.
You know what's crazy? I just want to squeeze this in and just get your thoughts on this. Out of all the things Kobe Bryant accomplished, the thing that stands out the most to me, and I know this sounds crazy, is when he put up the air balls his rookie year in the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Against, what was that, Utah they were playing? Against Utah. Shaq was on that team.
I was on that team.
Byron, you know what I'm saying. Like that stands out because guys who, first of all, one air ball is enough. Most guys would roll into a shell. I thought to myself, who is this guy with Shaq on his team taking the last shot and putting up two air balls at the end of a game?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to me?
Oh, right. That makes so much sense because, I mean, that's one of two or three things to stand out. I mean, his rookie year, because I was on that team, and I was playing in that playoff game and hurt my wrist, and Dale Harris had to play Kobe, you know, when we went to Utah because I couldn't play.
Right.
And so I felt so bad because I didn't think he was ready at that time, and obviously, you know, he wasn't, but he thought he was. I mean, like you said, he took two shots with the game on the line when you got Big Shaq down there, you know, an all-star. And they both were air balls. And, I mean, when I say air balls, they wasn't close.
No.
And they were the kind of shots. And that was the kind of moment that can make or break a guy. You know, I mean, it could just, you know, your career could just go real south real quick when you shoot air balls in that type of environment, in those conditions with the game on the line. You know, but he came back the next year with a vengeance. You know, and that, you know, one of the reasons during practice and all the stuff and all the times that we talked, and I did that interview a long time ago, and I said, you know, mark my words, this guy is going to be unbelievable, because I knew he had no fear, and that was just going to make him stronger. And it's one of three things that stick out for me, you know, with him. And, you know, that's the first one, obviously. You know, the second one is the 60-point game that he had, you know, which was unbelievable, his last game in his career. And the third thing is just, you know, all the times that we had that we just was just talk. You know, it wasn't one particular time. It was just all the times that we had where we just talked, we reminisced, or we talked about certain things, or he would call me and say, you know, coach, I need to talk to you about this. You know, those are memories that I'll never forget.
All right, that's the great Byron Scott
reminiscing about Kobe Bryant. Thank you so much.
Yes, great stories. We appreciate you.
Man, you know I love you guys anytime.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. That's the great Byron Scott on The Odd Couple. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your car insurance. We just heard from Byron Scott. Rob, that's amazing. First of all, that was a great, you know, he shared some great stuff, and it was really interesting where he was and how he found out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But even remember? Yeah, I was going to say, where were we? We were on our way to Miami for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because we always do, it was the week before the Super Bowl, and we always do our radio show from the Super Bowl city for the week preceding.
Yep.
And so it was Sunday. I was on my flight. I flew from L.A. I believe I was in L.A. Maybe I was in New York. But I flew to Chicago and then to Miami. And on my way to Chicago, as we're, you know, getting close and you can start getting texts and stuff on your phones because you're close right. enough to landing. And friends of mine start asking me, did Kobe die? Is it true?
And I was like, and you were what? Like, what?
Right. I'm just like, what? And then, you know, I text, what are you talking about, Kobe? And it was like, he died in a helicopter crash, supposedly. So I'm like, wait a minute. And it seemed like people on the plane were starting to kind of find out, because it was just like a feeling like of what's going on the plane. At least that's how I felt. And by the time I got off and, you know, could really, you know, but I start seeing everything on my phone, Twitter and everything, it was pretty, I don't think it had been officially confirmed, but it was pretty clear that it looked like it was true. And so I in the Chicago airport, you know, I went on Instagram or shot a video just talking about my feelings. I felt like crying. I didn't cry, but I felt like crying, Rob. As you know, a guy that young, it was just a gut punch, the biggest gut punch. And you know, that whole week we were in Miami, the next day I did First Things First, Undisputed, The Herd, like all these shows talking all about Kobe. And it really overshadowed, as it should have, and not only because it was someone's death, but as he was that high ranking of a player. You right. know what I mean? Top 10, 12 all time, whatever.
That's a living legend. Right. Absolutely. A living legend dying at so young of an age. Just
right.
It shocks everybody.
Too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was such a tragic thing. I was at a day party, Chris. I had come down Saturday, and I was at a day party in Miami just having some drinks with friends or whatever who were down there. And the crowd started buzzing, you know, when word starts getting passed around.
Right.
And people were like, oh, no, this isn't true. This is from TMZ. And I was like, stop. Please stop. Stop with the it. Right. I said, TMZ broke the Michael Jackson dying, Chris. They've broken big stories. So I'm not even.
Believed it right away.
Oh, absolutely. You don't report that, Chris. Your whole business, if you report that and that's not true,
right.
your business is ruined.
Right.
There's no way you come back from that. So I knew it was true, and it just struck me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, it was just – and I had seen him, Rob, maybe it was a couple months before. Believe it or not, I was at a jazz festival in Newport Beach, California, with my wife and some friends. And we saw Kobe. We went to the mall after the concert to get a drink, and Kobe was there with his family. As Byron said, his daughters, his wife, and we talked for a while. And so, yeah, man, Kobe Bryant, the great. Keep it locked.